Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hey everyone, it is Red Men Podcast time, and you've got what I can only describe as
two
absolute dickheads.
I'm Paul Machin, Steele and Chris Page have joined me for the Red Men Podcast this week. Yes, the what we call in hushed tones away from the other lads. The talent of the Red Men squad.
Yeah, I'm glad none of them, including Sy, can hear us.
Not my words, Chris Pajak's words. Not really, it's also my words. The faces, not the real talent. Yeah, not the real talent, because let's be honest, we'd just be three idiots sat in a room talking to each other.
Turning the camera on.
God knows we've made that mistake
that
before.
Day when the lads got COVID. Watching Chris scramble about madly proves that, yeah, they're
very good at what they do.
Yeah, we're not the most important.
We like them. It's why we part with money for their services.
Yeah. Think about your best football manager player, though, who can play in every position. There's always one in every game. It's Chris Pajak of the Redmen team.
The James Milner of the...
He is the Jimmy Milner.
The older...
The older is younger than me as well. You're older than me now.
Yeah. Amazing. The Luis Enrique.
That was quite the downgrade about that.
Still taller. Right, gents, we've got kick-off questions. We've got a load to talk about. We're going to talk about the League Cup final, of course.
I would love it if you shrunk so much when we're older that you were shorter than me. That would be amazing. Is that possible?
Only if I get my legs blown off in some sort of like fucking hideous accident.
It can be arranged.
Wow, you really want this? What are you really pushing for, right?
I was
one of them red flares up in the ground the other day thinking, I can take a left ankle out with one of them.
I think you'd look good in a pair of red flares, yeah.
One of these incoming nukes lands on the border of Knotty Ash. Yeah.
There's me by the post office pushing him.
Yeah, fantastic. Anyway, good to have the lads in the studio with me, like you mean. I said, but I really want to get back to having the core Red Men team on the podcast.
It's going to be chaos.
What a fucking stupid idea that was. Right, we've got kick-off questions to come. We're going to talk about the League Cup final. We're going to talk about what comes next. After Mo Salah tweeted one down, basically. It's like,
go ahead. What we were all saying in the ground.
Go ahead. Yeah, but like, woo. I love that. We'll do a bit about Norwich, which I'm very appreciative of the people who turned up and did the build-up show when nobody give two tugs of a dead dog's cock about Norwich in the FA Cup. But so be it. We're going to do some wrap-up stuff and get
a good show,
comments.
It was a good show. Whatever. I particularly like the fact that you didn't really focus on Norwich and focused on how good our squad is. It made me feel very, very good. I thought it was a brilliant way of doing the show.
Yeah,
because no one cared about Norwich.
Yeah, that was still don't, but we'll talk about it in a bit. Right, yeah, first kick-off question comes from one of our club legend Discord users. If you want to get involved with this, join Redmen Plus, etc., etc. Matty Cater, get in. He says, after the penalty shootout yesterday, who would you choose as your five penalty takers from all Liverpool history? So, yeah, you can pick five penalty takers from all of Liverpool history. Any thoughts?
I just went on LFC history and cheated a bit and just looked who scored the most. But that doesn't necessarily tell you who's the best. Mm-hmm. It just tells you who's maybe taking the most penalties.
Well, it definitely takes you at the very... Yeah,
two lads who kick balls into goals from the pen spots. Yeah. But like I say, Fabinho would never be on this list, but he's a great pen taker, but he's just never going to... He's going to be very rarely on there. So, definitely Jan Malby, because apparently, from what I've been told, he was like... the best we've ever had at there. Mm-hmm. James Milner, 100%. Okay. I actually still think he should be our pen taker anyway, but he's never on the pitch, so that's fine. See, I always get the sense that Stevie G was really good at them, but because he took loads, he did miss a few, didn't he? But he's got to be in there for me. So Malby, Milner, Gerrard. Ooh. Phil Neal was good at them. He was the pen taker for a while. Throw Phil Neal in there. And then, you know what? Let's throw the best player in the world in as well, Mohamed Salah.
Ooh. Yeah, I'm going to go recency biased because I think people have actually got better at penalties.
Yeah.
I think you see far more shootouts going at like the Carabao than nowadays.
Yeah, Virgil should be on them every pen.
No, that never used to happen. Like Everton were involved in one, was it last year or the year before, where it went to goalkeepers and stuff as well. Like that happens more and more now, so people are better and better at penalties, I think.
Yeah,
so I think James Milner, Fabinho, Mo Salah, Steven Gerrard, and probably Jan Molby are my five.
I thought it was really interesting on that because there's a bit of that certainly, but Mark Bosnich was on Sky Sports News the morning after, and in my bleary eyed state I kind of had it on, I was just waking up, and he's the first person to talk about this on like mainstream of like, because they've changed the goalkeeper rules, he said you're just going to see this happen more and more and more,
because you can't go forward,
because you've got to have one foot on the line at all times. That's like even like jumping and stuff like that, you know, the a lot of the movements stuff, like Kepa's like, what is this? Anyway, yeah, there's. I'd be hard pressed not to put Mo Salah in just for the pure recency bias of it all, because I don't think he's a great penalty taker, but he is a man for the big occasions.
He's unflappable.
He's about 30 scored, 5 missed. Maybe 31 scored, 5 missed for his career now.
Yeah,
Fabinho I think is 24-1. So Fabinho, you know, is absolutely superb. James Milner's about 25-5, there or thereabouts. I looked at this prior to the Carabao Cup final when we were doing our research and stuff. So those guys are legit brilliant penalty takers, every one of them three.
Yeah, yeah. And beyond that, Gerrard, it's funny because I think he became a really good penalty taker. Yeah. He took the penalties when he wasn't a great penalty taker, but he became one in later life. And his technique of, I'm just going to smash it really hard and low into a corner. You can't really. That's the thing that always gets me with Mo Salah, is I'm never 100% convinced that he knows where he's putting the ball when he strikes it. I think he knows it's going largely in the frame at the posts, but I'm never 100%. You know, when you run up and you smack it as hard as you can.
Basically, it's like ISS 64. If you remember International Superstar Soccer on the Nintendo 64, when you're playing the computer, you can put the thing in the corner, but when you're playing your mate, you have to hide your ranger so you know roughly where you're aiming. Like, yeah. I've pushed it to the top bin, but where is it actually ended up? And you do that, like, let go just so you can see, and then you go to the bottom, the other side, and stuff. Yeah. That's what Mo Salah feels like to me as well.
Yeah. Chris, just for a little, it's an absolute nightmare to play that game against because of that flicking on and off like a strobe lighting effect on the
that happened on the new FIFA, by the way, just to bring it to like,
yeah, you
like
can do
the
it
current
on,
day
on personal,
like, wait, aren't we talking about computer games in the 90s no more, because like I'll go,
yeah.
That's popping young kids.
Gary McAllister,
I've just looked up, by the way, I've just gone to the total list of Liverpool failures, and Phil Neal's the most, he's missed 13, so he's off my list. I've decided, I've took Phil off. I'm going to go for Fabinho as well.
Phil?
Yeah, Fabinho is a man. If you score a Panenka, I think that automatically gives you
Jamie Carragher's an outside shout for, the lad just took a great penalty, didn't he?
He did. The thing that got me was when, for England, was it World Cup 2006?
He scores and then misses.
And then had to retake it. Devastated for him because it was just, you'd have to face the ire of the English public for no reason.
Gerrard missed as well, didn't he?
Gerrard did miss as well, and yeah, but Chris didn't on the face of someone in the street afterwards.
Fine, we'll talk about it. It was not a good day for everybody, especially
that man who woke up on our road a little bit later on. Anyway. Not to condone such actions in any way, shape or form, of course. But yeah, Mario Balotelli. Who's in the comments? Who put Mario Balotelli? Get out.
To be fair, he was a great penalty taker, wasn't he? He was. That was just one of his things. He was an excellent penalty taker. Like, that's one of his MO.
Own it, Si. Mario Balotelli. Si Fletcher's gone. Mario Balotelli.
The problem with that is you'd have to have him on the pitch for 100 years.
You're not
Keffering him.
Yeah.
Not Mario Balotelli. You're fucking that shit up.
Yeah, definitely. We had a shot for Alan Kennedy in the comments there as well.
Clutch.
Okay, so off the top of my head, Salah, Gerrard.
Well, it's not really off the top yet. We've literally spoken about it for 10 minutes.
I wasn't realistic. I was calculating mine.
That's off the top of your head anyway, is if you just thought about it for 10 minutes.
Yeah, but you've been distracted. No,
you're done.
Berini.
That's off the top of your head.
Gerrard, Salah, Gary Mack, James Milner, Robbie Fowler.
Cool. Well done. Robbie Fowler's a good shout. I can't believe none of us picked him.
Yeah, I've...
Unless he feels he didn't deserve the penalty, in which case he'll take
it. On
like, lads, you've got five each, so you've got to have it, Robbie.
Yeah. just do it.
I forfeit.
Yeah. No. Okay, Sean. And I wanted to highlight on the next kickoff question, because we got a bunch of these. We put that on Twitter and we asked people for them. And we had two or three in this similar vein. And we had it last week. And Liverpool have since gone on and lifted a trophy. And LFC report seven. The seventh LFC report, presumably. What's the minimum that has to happen for this season to be considered a success?
It's a sliding scale, and I've got the right answer.
I just can't be arsed with why can't we have nice things?
You know, we can have nice things.
Yeah.
But like shiny trophy.
They, like some people like to pick favourites and they like to rank things and stuff like that.
Yeah.
This is what it is for me. It's not a binary, it's success, it's not success. It's levels of success for me. Because by definition, we've already won something, therefore we've been successful.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So the sliding scale is, if you win the quad, it's the best season that Liverpool Football Club have ever had in their entire history.
Yep.
If you win the League Cup, the Champions League, or the European Cup, and the Premier League, it's the joint second best season Liverpool have ever had in their entire history.
Yeah,
because that's the treble that we've won before, isn't it? If you then win a League or European Cup plus the League Cup, it's a fucking great season.
Yeah.
If you win just the FA Cup and the Carabao Cup, it's a good season tinged with disappointment.
Yeah.
What if you don't win anything else now, though, other than the League Cup? Is it just a... Yeah.
I'm annoyed.
Yeah.
But it's still successful.
It is successful.
My point to this is...
Because the league still counts, and if you finish second in the league and it's last day, there's so much... It's not binary.
My point to this is that we've just done it. This is my problem with these questions of, like... It's like, instead of being made up that we've done this and we'll deal with whatever comes, it's like, let's talk about all the situations where we can make what happened at the weekend shit. You know what I mean? And I'm not saying that's all the people who have these and ask these kind of things, but it is that constant clamour for what's next and what's next. Where I'm at, and it kind of goes into the conversation after the break, is that we've boxed that now. So regardless of what's happened, Liverpool have boxed a trophy. It might not be the best trophy, it might not be the one that we most laud. The fact that we made it the ninth as well and went back clear as the record holders of that makes it more worthy than it's been in years gone by or whatever. But for me, I've just got a massive sense of relief that's come with this whole thing. So for me, it's a success in so much as how good Liverpool are to finish a season completely empty-handed is always going to be a bit underwhelming. I'm wary of us being this thing now where we go a bit too far above and beyond and people go like, well, you've now got to X, Y, and Z. Liverpool have achieved something, which is really, really good. The real, I just don't want us to slip down this rabbit hole of, because we had this conversation last week, Man City are still favourites to win the league. They're still, you know what I mean? Man City are favourites, I think, to win the Champions League. Man City are probably favourites to win the FA Cup. So there's every realistic chance. I mean, Kepa sticks that top in and then it comes around to our next pen taken and we miss the next one. We haven't won that. That's the fine margins that we're in. We could lose. What I'm trying to drive it as here is that ask us at the end of the season and see how we feel, because it might feel... If you told me now we're only going to win the League Cup, there's a chance we'd all go, oh, that's a bit crap. But if we lost it, it would be devastating to lose it at the last possible moment, but it wouldn't be failure to lose two penalty shootouts against Man City after 120 minutes or whatever.
There's like different ways that you can look at it, isn't there? If you want to get really annoyed about it, Liverpool have won, what, 49 major trophies, is it now, in their 130-year history, give or take. I can't remember exactly how many it is, to be honest, but I think it is 25, 32, 35, plus 9, 44, plus 5, 49, right? So Liverpool have won 49 major trophies in 130 years. We are the most successful side in England.
Yeah.
We've won less than a trophy every 2 years in our, you know, so by definition, this has been a good season because we've added to that champions wall. Whatever you think, that's just fucking fact. It's numbers.
I did
also,
enjoy
you can, like I say, winning a trophy, probably at worst, finish second in the league. You might, again, Champions League quarterfinals, you'd think it on the horizon, something mad would have to happen now against Inter for that to happen. FA Cup, we should all be in the quarterfinals. That's already a very good season. Like that's a good season. it's left. There's nothing that makes this a bad season now. Again, if the wheels fall off in the league and you come fourth, fifth, then yeah, I understand that. But albeit in the realms of possibility, Liverpool had a good season. Winning a trophy shouldn't never be sniffed at. Like, especially if you do well in the league, it doesn't come at the cost of a league. So 2012, the reason Kenny gets sacked is because the trophies come at the expense of the league.
Yeah.
This one hasn't. It's come as well as, and that's what greats are. Do you win trophies and you compete for titles? So we've already had a good season. The scale from now is it goes either from good to the best ever season Legendary. That we've ever had. We're going to fall somewhere in between. My guess is we are going to win something else.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, but like I say, we've already had a good season. Liverpool have had a good season. Liverpool last season had a good finish to the season, and all in all, last season becomes a good season because of the circumstances that it's within. You've got to take things into context.
That's the
context of where you are. A good season for this Liverpool side now, given the money and the strength that we've got in depth and all this kind of things, is are you in the league title race come April?
Yeah.
If you don't win it, them's the breaks. Are you a perennial Champions League quarter finalist? Pretty much will be. FA Cup's competing well, winning the League Cup. That's a good season. It just is, and no one can tell me any differently.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And as you said, I thought that what you said right at the top of that, Chris, was right. It's a success already because
the lads have got medals around the necks.
Exactly that. But yeah, hopefully it becomes a springboard, which we'll talk about a little bit more in a minute. Right, time to do the Club Legend prize draw every month for our Club Legend subscribers over on Redmen Plus. We have an amazing competition prize. If you are
so, are these the legendary plussies?
If you are,
it still doesn't catch you on that, is it?
No, it's so good. Yeah. Who wouldn't want to be a legendary plussie?
Yeah, if you are a subscriber, there's probably like tens of thousands of people listening. Yeah, I'll give that a miss, thanks. Don't, because you get entered into the competition to win. So, have you got that video? Yeah, you can win. The guys are in the draw to win this. It was a signed Liverpool retro shirt.
Wait, it was Steve a signed McMahon. Shirt. It still is a signed shirt, right?
Yeah.
Cut.
Yeah, it still exists.
Stuck
it in the wash. Steve McMahon and Ronnie Whelan. It's like your Robbie Fowler side shirt.
Wash me Robbie Fowler shirt.
It was washed in. It was signed. We're going to do the draw, in fact, for that right now.
That was... Not sold well, I'll be honest. Robbie Fowler had done you in there.
Yeah. Right, anyway, carry on. Right, the name we are drawing, let's have a round of knocks on the table. Drum roll, that's what it's called.
Knocks on the table! Yeah,
there we go, talking around the problem. Pickaxe Ladybug is the winner!
That's a good username as
that
well.
That is a
strong username, Pickaxe Ladybug.
Pickaxe Ladybug is the winner of our... Steve McMahon, Ronnie Whelan, signed and framed retro shirt.
Do you want to see next week's prize as well while this video's finished?
Have you got...
Oh, we've got it.
Oh, you've got it.
Oh, God, this could be a disaster as well.
Yeah, absolute quality. So...
Here you go, everyone.
Yeah, brilliant. apologies to all your listeners. What it is the Liverpool 93-94 Premier League home shirt signed by Roy Evans and by Bruce Grobbelaar. Signed...
Oh, there you go.
And
oh, wrong way. No,
framed...
No,
right.
To me. Yeah. Oh, there you go. Got it. Nailed it.
Bird.
Wonderful stuff, gents. If you want to be in the draw next month for that prize, then join up to Redmen Plus at Club Legend level. Not only do you get that, but you get all the content that we do each and every week and month, but also you get into our Club Legend Discord chat, which is full of wonderful human beings. And as we saw at the weekend, every now and again we do some special live events, a bunch of Redmen Plus subscribers got to come into the studio for the cup final. How was that today?
Yeah, it was good fun putting names to faces and to usernames as well. Yeah, we had a good laugh on it. Being the dramatic final it was, it certainly added to the ambiance of the room.
Hmm.
I'm getting the Sacharai Pajak turning this into like the gold dust's chest. He's just like breathing up it. Like,
what you couldn't see is while I was doing that, he was rubbing my knee by accident.
I was thinking, I've got an itchy leg, and then I was scratching, and it wasn't my leg.
Stop getting rid of it.
Hello, here we go.
Maybe if you want to be a Redmen Plus.
When did you fall in love?
Steve mentioned the revamped, it being a revamped podcast. I didn't realise we were quite pivoting like that.
Yeah. I think from YouTube to OnlyFans in 40 minutes.
Are you getting tired of holding it?
Yeah, my left arm's really sore. Isn't it weird that like just putting your arm above your head hurts?
Yeah.
It's just stupid, really. Like, whoever it is that invented us has done something.
There's
really
a lot
bad.
Of people who lift major weights, but you still, it still really hurts to keep your arms. It doesn't matter how much weight you lift. It's still hard keeping your arms elevated. Right, sound brilliant. Right, we're going to be talking the League Cup final in a little bit more depth and detail in a moment and talking about what we feel comes next and what it means for the squad and all that kind of stuff. Elegantly done, Mr. Chris Pajak. Well done. But we have got a brand new sponsor this week. Steve, do you want to tell us all a little bit more about this?
Wow, you have thrown me there.
Is a bus you've got to catch there, mate.
He's underneath it. What are you talking
about? Yeah, our new sponsors are Who Knows Wins. They are... Yeah, I was not prepared for you to come to me. Yeah, so Who Knows Wins. Basically, we all get 10 games a week that we'll all have to pick. All of the Redmen team, well, six of us are in it.
The talent, and then the faces for radio as well. Which is which?
I didn't name them. So it's obviously us three. It's Paul, Chris, it's me, it's Ross, it's Silas, Tom. We'll all be included as well. I'm guessing you've got a little bit more information.
Well, Who Knows Wins, it's an app that you can download. You can either do it from the App Store or the iTunes Store or whatever they're calling that over there on that Apple thing nowadays that I don't have. It's dead easy to use. You download it, you sign up, and then you can enter into what we're doing this weekend is the Pick 10 League. You've got to pick the winner of 10 different games. If you come top of that, you win a huge prize. So I think the prize is like 7,500 quid for this week or something. We're going to enter into that. We're going to do our league ourselves. We're going to fight to see who knows more out of each of us. Spoiler, it's going to be me. I always win these things and I will be coming for that money. These two will be leaving empty handed. You'll be leaving empty handed, so there's no point in getting involved. I'm kidding. I'm terrible at this.
So not only do you get to win, you get to win bragging rights as well in a very big way. So yeah, as we say, we brought up, if you're watching this on the YouTube right now, the 10 games that you get to pick are on the screen right now, including Villa, Southampton, Burnley, Chelsea, Newcastle, Brighton. No, I say including, I'm going to read them all. Norwich, Brentford, Wolves, Palace, Liverpool, West Ham, Derby, Barnsley, Hull versus West Brom, Charlton versus Sunderland, and Rangers versus Aberdeen. Yeah, if you think you know more and better than us, then yeah, get involved. Link in the description underneath alongside, and check our socials for our picks a little bit later on in the week as well. And yeah, obviously tune back in for the podcast for the next for the rest of the season, where you basically get to laugh at our misfortune and we'll be giving some love to the people who do well, and hopefully we'll find out who knows the most out of the Redmen TV team between now.
I think what we're going to find out really is who knows the least. I think that's where the fun in this comes from.
The aim here is to be mid-table.
Honestly, mate. if we're doing the wheel, I'm the one where you get all like what you've just earned.
I'm going to approach this. I'm hoping to approach this because ultimately it's out of my hands because who wins and you know the actual football matches I've got no impact on. It's like poker. Don't play to win. Play to survive. Play to get. Don't want to be the first one out. Don't want to be embarrassed. Don't want to be like, you know, the laughing stock. And if you win, you win. But you've got to be just go deep. Play to go deep. So I'm aiming for mid-table.
I think we're all playing to go deep.
We are all. I never aim for anything but the deep. With that being said,
who knows wins?
With that being said, over 18s only. And again, please do gamble responsibly if that is your thing. If it's not your thing, it's absolutely fine as well. But make sure you are responsible with all this stuff. But I am going to win, and I am going deep on you too.
That's it. Brilliant. The link in the description. Get involved. It should be. We're gonna have a really good laugh with this one. So make sure you're in on.
Can we have a forfeit for whoever's worst each week?
You can. Yes.
Let us know. Tweet us, comment.
What will Steve do when he finishes bottom? I'm never doing forfeit.
Can't do that again. No. We've done that.
What if it's just a loser's hat that they have to wear for this segment?
With a loser's hat, right? And what it ends up is getting your legs shaved for some reason. That's how these things go.
The fact that you picked that was the one you picked.
Not eating the hot chilies.
Quite enjoyed the drag, didn't you?
The worst one we ever did was that blended fast food meal. Oh my days.
Yeah,
I blended
chilies.
Anyway.
No forfeits. Just win some money or don't win some money, and then have a bit of a laugh. We'll see. I mean, I want to know how good I am first.
I need to do some research on Barnsley. That's what I've found out.
Yeah, I was wondering about league they're in.
Yeah,
I know Celtic in Scotland.
Yeah,
so
they weren't in it though, were they?
No, of course they weren't.
Was they?
Well, I'm going to beat him.
It was Rangers Aberdeen, wasn't it?
Okay.
Oh, God.
Bring it up.
It was Rangers.
Oh, it was Rangers Aberdeen. That's what I said. And it's no good. Thinking about Celtic when it's Rangers Aberdeen, mate.
Get on you knowing footy teams.
An ability to read. I literally said that out loud and still didn't know it.
I'm so going to lose.
I know where Celtic is. It was Aberdeen, wasn't it? Lads, it was Rangers Aberdeen. Okay.
Laughing. Right, so Liverpool won the League Cup. Wasn't that good? Let's have a little chat about that. Yeah, if you want more analysis on the League Cup final, of course, the final word and the instant match reaction.
Is that show coming later today as well?
Yeah, all streaming.
We are going deep.
Deep. As deep as things go. Not
quite, I can't get that deep.
Going to the hills.
You have to twist the deep, you know what I mean?
I'm coming out the other side. That's how deep I've gone.
Okay.
I'm not sure the three of us together on a show was a good idea. To
yeah,
be honest,
this is going
to
be chaos. But sorry, guys.
I've remembered now we split it up. You're bringing people who don't really know us very well, so they have a bit more to call them and what they're doing. No, it's fine. Yes.
People asked, where's.
Stay shut up!
No! You all asked for this, is what you wanted. I keep getting messages. Where's Payjack? Where's Machen? Get everyone on this. We've done it. We've given you what you want. This is what you want. This is
that wasn't
you.
What the vast majority of messages were asking for, Steve.
A lot of it was just get rid of me. But I'm here as well. Can we just have MXP back? I mean, you've just shoehorned me into the middle of it. I'm all right with that. I'm happy being the third wheel. You got what you wanted.
That's absolutely fine. Chris Payjack, Chris, no. It was a very Liverpool kind of final.
Yeah, it very much was. And I think loads of people thought it was going to be dead easy. I think I remember doing something, I can't remember, a week or so ago for TikTok, and I'm like, yeah, we're going to win 3-0. But it was all, for me, it was always going to go to penalties, and it was always going to be really difficult because Chelsea are a really, really good side. And I think, you know, that's borne out by the final itself. But it was always going to be something mad. There was always going to be a narrative when Liverpool are involved. It can't just be a normal penalty shootout. It can't just be a normal 0-0. We have to get the most exciting 0-0 ever in before we go to penalties. And that's kind of what Liverpool do, isn't it? Every single time.
Yeah. It was two of the best teams in Europe slugging it out. And both teams played well. Like, I did play ratings for Liverpool on obviously on the YouTube channel. I give everyone pretty high marks. And if you'd done the same for Chelsea, you'd give all of them high marks as well. It was two high-quality teams. Both fluffed their lines a little bit at times. And both defended resolutely for long. Like, the stars of both teams really shone, especially at the back. Like, Van Dijk and Thiago Silva were just unbelievable. Joel Matip, unbelievable. Kanate, unbelievable. Rudiger, let's be honest, nullifies Mo Salah, which is almost impossible to do. So it was just two absolute behemoth teams just slugging it out, and it comes down to the goalkeepers taking penalties. It was, you know, it was a cigarette paper between both sides. Yeah. And listen, there's a chance this could be an FA Cup final. This could be the Champions League final. This could be anything. We could be playing Chelsea a lot more in the future as well. We've got the league games out the way, but they're not going anywhere. They're really good, and we're really good as well. And that's what it was. It was a bit like the City-Chelsea Champions League final, actually. The difference is Havertz takes his chance where Mason Mount fluffs his lines, or you know, Mendy makes one of the greatest saves I've ever seen. It was such fine margins that I think it showed the level of both sides. For a 0-0, it just showed how good both teams were.
I've been predicting penalties for a couple of weeks in this because you can't. I mean, I was hoping, it was my hope above all hopes, that we're just better than Chelsea. I wanted to see that at Anfield at the start of the season, and then they get the red card and it changes the flow of the game. So you never got a definitive answer on that, and you think, okay, well, whatever, we'll live with that. And you play them at Stamford Bridge and the manager's not there and the goalkeeper's not there, and then we've got other lads out, and you're thinking, okay, well, we've managed, we got two up, and then we draw and think, oh, if circumstances were with us, you know, if we missed the chance to show we were better. And then as we were getting toward this game, I was thinking, even going back to the Super Cup, like, they gave us a hell of a game there, and I just thought, this is a better side than that one. Yeah, this has just got, that's where we're at. I think we've got a bit more, we've got loads more experience now, but they've actually added to that with the finals they've been to and the things they've won in recent times. So it was going to add up to, it was going to be fine margins. I didn't think it would be quite such fine margins, but ultimately it's boiled down to a world where Thomas Tuchel's effectively fucked the final for them.
I just don't get that, you know, right? I've been thinking about this more and more. I'm sure it's been said elsewhere and stuff, right? But why put yourself into that situation? Yeah. If you do nothing, the talking point is Liverpool won on pens, exactly, and you just lose because you've got a world-class keeper there. If you do something, it's like you just want to be the story regardless.
Yeah. There's a world of difference.
It just baffles me, you know.
Because Kelleher was set up to be the story. Because if Kelleher has a bad game and Liverpool lose, then Klopp choosing your backup goalie in a final is actually the story. So it's not too... It's from the same... It's on a similar branch. It's from the same tree, you know what I mean, as far as like potential storylines go. But you're right. In that environment, you've actually put it all on Kepa. And maybe that's just punishment.
They did this in the Super Cup and it worked.
Yeah,
so it has worked for them.
But Liverpool know that.
Yeah, yeah.
So Liverpool are going in there, right? Yeah. Did Van Dijk do the penalty that you thought he was going to do? Did Fabinho do a penalty that he's done before? No. So Liverpool have got the analysis as well. They know that Kepa's spent 120 minutes looking at and working out with the coaches where everybody goes. So just do the fucking opposite, lads.
No, it's stupid. It's genuinely... I find it... Yeah, they've made it more of a thing. Yeah. You know what I mean? I'm just not a big fan of bringing people on for pens, whether they're outfield or not.
I am now.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan
of it. I've become a recent convert for some reason.
Like, but, don't do it for my side.
I don't know if it's been spoken about elsewhere, and I apologise if anyone does this on the telly or what, but like, everyone on that pitch was knackered, and they saved a sub to bring the goalie on in the last minute. So they looked knackered at that time. Their midfield, by the end of the game, was pretty goosed, and I was looking like, they had Hudson-Odoi, They had all these lads on the bench who might have been able to give them something. So from 106, when they take Kovacic off for Jorginho, they haven't got another sub in extra time because they're saving that one
but
for the goal.
They've also got control of the game, I think, at that point.
But I think they could have won it. I think they were one sub away from probably winning that game. A little bit more, and it might sound mad to say this, but like you're taking Golo Kante off even and just add Loftus, you kind of get there completely worlds apart. But Kante looks tired and he never looks tired. By 97, we had all our fresh legs on. We had nowhere left to go. They had the advantage of getting further into the game with that extra sub, and they never used it because he used it on the goalie. And going back to the flip side of it is what you're right is that, and I said this on the last show, I don't want to repeat myself too much, Mendy was playing the best game I've ever seen, one of the best goalkeeping performances you'll ever see.
Yes.
He's literally 7 foot tall, and he's probably feeling 7 foot tall because like everything you've thrown at me, I've saved.
Yeah, yeah. And I've heard this said elsewhere, but like psychologically, there's a lad who's kept you out,
yeah,
and he's there. And I'll be honest, Kepa's a joke. I know it might have worked previously. Great, good on you. But it's Liverpool, and I'm sorry, but like it was. And the one that summed it up for me, there's two. It's Fabinho, Panenka in it, and it's Van Dijk, and it's like because he's playing his games, and it's Liverpool going dead good. It reminds me of Indiana Jones, where he comes up against the guy and he's whipping all the swords around and he just goes and pulls his gun out and shoots him. It's like, what are you doing, you dickhead? I've got a gun. Who are you? You know what I mean? Like, great, you've brought a sword to a gun, but you've brought Kepa to a high-pressure situation, a guy who everyone knows is a bit of a joke.
I agree with everything that you've both said, and I'll just like to add on, Mendy's fucking massive in that goal.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
He makes the goal look smaller. Yeah. I just think there's something to that when you're a goalkeeper.
They both look small in that goal.
They did, yeah.
My favourite part, because I was going to ask, like, what penalty taker were you most nervous for? And there's because there was a sliding scale of how much my head was on your shoulder as that shoot went on.
I was struggling to stand at Van Dijk's penalty. Because you were very, very heavy at that point.
I was worried more for like, oh, is someone just going to go up and be a bit too nonchalant in those situations? So I was a little worried for Virgil's. And particularly when Kepa does that thing, because it's actually one of my favourite things. It was a Spanish goal. He did it about 20 years ago. I can't forget the name. But the idea is, he actually has played Van Dijk, because you leave that wide of the goal open, so you're meant to, it's a psychological game where you go, well, it's easier for me to put it in that far corner, so I know the goalie's going to try to cover that, so I'll put it on the side that he is. But the Virgil van Dijk is so pissed off with him, because I do think a little bit like, you tried this against me, and you've nearly, you know, like the fact that he does go that side, it's a bit of like, fuck you, I'm just going to smash
it
at you.
I'm not 100% sure Van Dijk knows, because he's looking at the ball. I don't even think he cares. I don't think he knows.
Oh, he cares, because look at this celebration.
He knows after, when he looks up, when he looks back,
I think he's dead pissed off for two reasons. He's pissed off that Kep has tried something on him, but he's also a little bit pissed off that he's gone that way, and Kepa, you know, if he'd been a better goalkeeper and, you know, and saved the ball that was kicked right at him, he could have made Van Dijk look a twat. And Van Dijk annoyed a bit that he's like tried to make Van Dijk.
He must
Dijk
have been saying stuff, mustn't he? Because Mo Salah laughs at him. Literally laughs. I score and just laughs in his face. Fabinho laughs at him. So he's obviously that's the thing with Kepa, is that I get the psychology thing, because Emi Martinez did this, didn't he, for Argentina, when he was literally shouting at the fellas and you could hear it because the stadiums were empty. I don't know how much of an impact it plays, really. It's the thing is, when you bring him on off the bench, and again, you guys didn't watch it, I was watching it on the watch along, but like from the 110th minute, they were showing Kepa on the bench putting his gloves on, like he was getting warmed up, and he was like, it was like, you know, like a wrestling promo coming next week is the amazing Kepa. And it was like, all right. And so I think when he comes on, he can't just be Kelleher. He can't just go and goal and try and save the ball. He feels like, I'm the big show. Walking down here. I've got my special moves. And my special moves, I've done all week is prepare for this. And I'm going to stand on the spot. And imagine doing that to James Milner. James Milner just was like, I saw the ball in the hand. Like,
There was a point where, I didn't put all the penalties in the vlog because it was just, you know, it was a lot of us go, Ray, and then go, oh. But by the end, I'm just saying out loud, just hit it hard. Just hit it hard, because by the time you get into a sudden death, Chris, you realised that Kepa's moving around so much that as long as you get that, you hit it really, really hard, and he's got to move for it.
He's got fanny wrists.
It's a very brittle way to goalkeep, and that was what and Konate actually proves that, because he goes the right way, but he's hit it so hard, he's taken Kepa into the net.
And that's it. I mean, look, to fair play to the Chelsea players, the outfield players as well, because they were some good penalties. Yeah. You know, Kelleher, I think, gets closest twice. Probably
Alonso and Werner.
Yeah, they're the two ones where you think he should have saved them. And, you know, but he didn't, because it's difficult, because they hit the penalty as well. When you're looking at it and you're watching it back, you can see that, I would want my goalkeeper doing his talking after he saved it. Because I'm not sure how much you can get in the red. I think more than the moment itself. I don't think it's ever a goalkeeper talking to them that gets in the red. I think it's the fact that it's a penalty in a cup final that gets in the fucking head. Walk away afterwards. Do you that afterwards? Like, you know what I mean?
It depends who you are. Again, Kepa's a joke.
Yeah.
So he's someone like that comes to you and chats, he's just like,
what a fight.
That says to me you're more nervous than I am in that situation. You know, like, whereas if someone who's big and boss goes like, you know what I mean, like someone who you feel you're on level pegging with goes like, put it there, a day to put it there, then that's like that's a big challenge.
When it's Manuel Neuer and he just reaches his arms over his head and he's already touching the post, and you're seeing how big he is, I think that's
Mendy can do that.
That's much harder to deal with, because you're like, shit, I have to get it into the corner here. Yeah. And if that's when you fuck up, that's when you hit the ball wide.
I think, Chris, and again, it's hindsight, we'll never know. I think if Mendy stays on, we actually lose that shootout. Because I think he definitely saves the Konate one.
That's the thing, if he goes the right way.
Yeah, if he goes the right way.
I think the ones that go down the middle, Kepa dives past them, there's a very good chance Mendy's big old size 12s in the way.
You're talking about the butterfly effect there, aren't you?
True.
They take different penalties because it's a different
goalkeeper. That's true, yeah.
You just put Fabinho doesn't...
Panenka. That's what I'm saying. It's things like that.
You just batter it into the bottom corner and you go again. It is what it is. But there was loads. I was nervous because of what it means to the players. And I was, so every time one of our pen takers stepped up, I was mentally writing the narrative.
Yeah, that's the problem, isn't it? Because you're like, oh God, it's Rabo. Please don't fuck it up. Oh God, it's Rabo. Oh God, it's 18-year-old Harvey Elliott. Yes. Oh my God, please don't fuck it up.
I had Rian Brewster visions up there with Harvey Elliott. Of like, you know, the story should be what a great success it is to have him back on the pitch and not have him be the guy. And then I was going, but he's so young, and that'll be the thing that's been. And then Mo Salah is like, oh God, Mo Salah, he's had too many disappointments already. How many is he going to be able to? Well, no, this will be the one where he takes a penalty in the final.
He gets to take his pen. Please let him score at this.
Oh, here's Trent. Oh, he misses and then Reece James scores.
And the commentator even went, anything you can do, I can do. I'm thinking, he's a fucking sub for them now, shut up.
Yeah.
Like, these conversations are over and done with.
In terms of actual stepping up to the I thought when I got to Robbo, I was like, I'm not sure about that.
Yeah.
I've got a thing about left foot. I shouldn't have, it's just me again. Just an idiot thing.
It's John Anna Reese's fault, right?
I don't know. It's just,
I'm with you though. I've got a thing about left foot. But then the reason is I'm left footed. So I see more miss than score.
But he was the one where I thought, hang on a minute. funny enough, Stuart Errol was a bit iffy about Divock when he first saw Divock, because
he's done so much for us.
It was what you said, though. It's the nonchalance of it. And if, to be honest, it wasn't the greatest penalty in the world. If Kepa goes, like we saved, that is just his guess. And I actually think, of all the penalties he should have saved, I know he goes the wrong way, he should have saved Divock's, because you could tell the second Divock lines up, he's going that way. Again, if Kepa doesn't notice that, but again, I had the view of the camera from behind the shooter, I had the sky cam, and you could just tell, his whole body shape, was, he could never go the other way. And he was like, that's very strange goalkeeping. And then Konate, he might as well have told them, as he was walking up to the ball, where he was hitting it. Because this run-up is just the most side on, I'm hitting it over there, run-up, but he's going for what you've said. I'm dead big and hard, and I'm just going to blast it past you.
Yeah.
Which is great. And then, obviously, speaking about Keller, probably takes, if you going back to that list earlier, by the way, Kevin Keller, I might be in our top five pen takers of all time. That's an amazing penalty.
That was the most relaxed, for two reasons, because the goalie. So, whatever. And I did mention, I was only annoyed that he was the first pen taker, so we didn't get to do the Adrian, you take your gloves off because this is done, I'm going to score I'm scoring the winning penalty moment here. But he's the coolest cat in that whole, we own Virgil van Dijk, and Kevin Kelleher is cooler than Van Dijk. He's more chill, he's more laid back, he's just, everything feels like it's totally within his sphere of influence. I because he didn't get to make the save, but
he got to run away and celebrate first.
But
anyway,
his cool, yeah. But his coolness adds to Kepa's stress, because he does. He just.
It's that bit where when he scores, he runs straight at Kepa, doesn't he? And then
runs past him onto the line.
And then he runs past him, and I think I visibly sort of saw him go.
Yeah.
Just so
he does have a breath. No,
he waits till he's past Kepa.
Yeah.
Like, because although I don't want that, you thinking that I was a bit nervous about that.
Yeah.
And that's fucking brilliant that he's done that. Like,
I thought he was.
And then Kepa, again,
a goal kick.
It was the worst penalty I've ever seen. That was missing every from this when he started his run up, because he's running up as if he's trying to put one on the fullback's head.
He's trying to go top corner, isn't he? That's the thing about that, which is just.
I think he's just trying to hit it as hard as he possibly can.
He's got no aim on that, because he has, but the aim, it's like going back to the video games, it's holding the down button and the arrow just goes up and up and up before you've even done your run up.
Yeah.
That's what he's done, because everything about his body shape, he runs up and he gets under the ball. It's so odd. Fuck him. Who gives a fuck? But it was just strange. But I think that by that point, going back to everything you've said before, he's been brought on, I'm the penalty king, well, I've let all 11 in, and I've now got to take one. His head's kettled.
Yeah.
He's gone. He should have saved one two ago.
Yeah.
He's just seen the goal, he scored past them. His head's fried. He's frazzled.
And that's the point, and that's where it boils down to Tuchel, for me, because he's made the decision. He'll never have known that was going to happen, but your manager's got to take responsibility, because he's chosen to bring him on. And I said to you, as you got to them last two, I went, Kepa's the story now, one way or the other. He's either the goalie that, you know, you brought on and he's won the shootout, or he's the goalie that comes on and he's cost you the shootout, because that's just we either win or lose. If Chelsea win, then you've done a good thing, and if they lose, it's the goal. But it was so on him, and it's just daft. And like, again, I made a point, I didn't really bother getting too close in on, you know, filming the pens or whatever. I made, and it was just so obvious he was going to miss. It was so set up for it. Because even then, he's the most mentally weak of all of them, because he's been through so much.
Well, do you remember, Sarri was the manager, he was refusing to come off for penalties,
He was trying to bring Caballero on for him, yeah.
Yeah, so he's had all that problem in the past and stuff. I just want to offer a different insight, moving away from the penalty slightly. And what I think is insight, anyway, it might just be bullshit. They go hand in hand with me sometimes. I think, if Liverpool lose that, right, there is a narrative that Liverpool get pushed on and, you know, spared on to do better for the rest of the season. In the way that Tuchel lost them that game, it undermines his position as the manager of the football club. Not because, doesn't make him a worse manager, but everyone in that dressing room is not blaming Kepa. They're blaming the manager for putting him into that position.
And next time, if he goes to pens again, does he do it again?
And if you any of your players now doubt your manager, that is not a good position to be in, not at that football club.
That's a really, really interesting point, that now is because, so you get to a final in the FA Cup, or they get to the Champions League final, does he do that again? Because
he'll say he would.
I think he'll have no choice but to, because but he's backed himself into that corner. Whereas the fact that he starts Mendy when Kepa's played that competition as well, and he's played the FA Cups, it speaks to that, I mean, that's the whole thing. You've basically told Kepa, I don't think you're good enough for this game, because he's bottled putting him in from the start, and then obviously tried to justify, but if it's penalties, I'll bring you on because you're my penalty guy. Rings a little hollow, but yeah, interesting what comes next for him. Just a few more bits on the League Cup final. What have been your best moments at them bits and pieces? Because what Twitter and social media are at their best when Liverpool have had a big win. The thing for me that I thought was there's been the best thing about it. It's seeing everyone's different views and angles of all the different celebrations. It's the amount of, it's how much that entire squad buzzed off this win, and it sort of got me that it's been yonks since we had a celebration with the team. We had a proper one. You know, we had even like last season. What a relief it was to get into the top four, but there's only 10,000 fans in the ground. We missed our window. All this, we'll celebrate the league when we can. We'll celebrate it when we can. We never got to celebrate it. You know, you're going back to the Champions League win now before, and that all of a sudden is a very long time ago. And the idea that the players got to have their little moments to shine, like Jordan pushing Kelleher forward so he gets to celebrate on his own with the cup, he gets all his photos, Taki Minamino being sent to go and have his own because he's one of the major reasons why we got to the final. I just love that synergy. It feels like Chelsea have gone, Chris, from being like the cup team, they're the cup final specialists, and to reignite that thing with the fans and with the crowd.
Yeah, it means a lot, but I think the biggest thing for me, and you know, I hate to bring it back to City, but this was their trophy. Mm-hmm. This has been their trophy for a long time now. So it's a case of, lads, we've taken this one, but we're going to take the other one back as well. Like, and it's just, what does that do to them? Because I spoke to you all weekend about this, is that I felt you could see Manchester City starting to feel the pressure when they played Everton. You could see by the release of what Foden does when he scores that goal and everything, you see the cracks starting to appear. Now they've just had a trophy that they fucking owned for the last, was it 4 years on the bounce, mm-hmm. Did they win it? And all of a sudden, Liverpool's squad are now good enough to compete and beat Chelsea in a really tense final, and the breathing down your neck in the Premier League. And all of a sudden, it all just feeds into that sort of beast that Liverpool are chasing you, and there ain't nothing you can do. I saw one of those memes with, like, you know, the American wing mirror where objects in your thing appear closer, and it was the Liverpool badge. And it's like, you're like, oh yeah, we are, boys. We are coming for you. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, so it's
absolutely brilliant. But going back to the players, of course they want it. Of course you need that as well. Like, Diaz comes in, he's straight in, up and running all of a sudden, massively full of confidence, playing really well. Kostas, Tsimikas, Minamino. It bonds everybody together because you need a really great squad to win multiple trophies. You can't do it on 13, 14 players. And that's the difference with Liverpool now. And they all buy into it. There's players that will be disappointed. I think Kurt Jones didn't look like he was as part of it, but we don't get there without his performances earlier on in it. So I think, you know, disappointment, but it can still fire you on.
And there's just like, there's things like the centre-halves. So there's a photo when Gomez in there and he's just in his coat and whatever, because obviously he's not stiff for action or whatever. But you see, it's the little teams within teams.
As Jan with the goalies, and he plays at Preston, doesn't he? So yeah, all them. My favourite one, we're going back to it, is Javier with the flair.
Yeah,
brilliant. I know he's apparently been told off for it. From what I've been told, he was just...
We've all been there, Paul. I think I got told off in Kiev for doing something very, very similar.
So that was definitely my moment. Like it's weird because he's been a Liverpool fan since he was a kid, and that comes out. Like, he gets, and he's grew up in the Liverpool, this Liverpool era of the fan culture, where it used to be like a bit nerdy to be like all in on your team. It was like taboo. You went to match, you went to pub, and then that was kind of it. Now it's okay to be like all in all the time.
Yeah,
Jürgen's made it acceptable.
Yeah,
and
he's dancing on the fucking podium.
Yeah. And then you've got Pep Linders starting Freed from Desire off in the changes, like a dad dancing all over it. It's him, Jordan, is it Milner and Robbo?
And then just everyone Kostas would just elevate it all, because you are like, if it wasn't Kostas Tsimikas, I'd be like, who is this? What are you doing here, lad?
But he's running back and forward all the time.
He's running around in a circle doing all that. He's riding a really, really small unicorn.
Yeah, it's bizarre. I'm a big fan of how there's a pantheon of Scouse kid gods that have been created in the history of Liverpool, who've managed to get themselves involved with big things happening. So you've got the lad who's on all the photos from Istanbul, who managed to get the jacket. You've got the kid flicking the V's at Messi. against Barcelona, and there'll be others, but you've got like, I mean, you've got the beach ball lads who throws that on, and then you've got this kid who gets to lift. Just a scouse lad who got himself, managed to get himself on there and lifts the trophy.
About his dad, where's your Ali? Take him with you. No, I shan't.
Just absolutely. Did
you ask Jaeger, like, who's the kid? He was like, no idea. Yeah. There was a kid there, so you got the cups, huh?
Everyone was like, is that Ali's kid or something? Like,
in Berlusconi as well.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, absolutely. There's just, I love it's a very scouse thing to have just a couple of individuals manage to insert themselves into the timeless history of Liverpool by just getting themselves into situations that you shouldn't normally be in.
For you too, like you met the Robertsons, didn't you, as well? That was highlight for you.
Yeah.
It was brilliant.
That was, I have to say, it was one of those random things where we were just like kind of a bit wiped out by the whole experience of not being able to eat. You were severely hungover by this point of not being able to drink for the full.
Yeah, my hangover hitting about the 100th minute of the game.
So we went for something to eat afterwards, and Andy Robbo's mum come and said hello, and then we got to say hello to all of the family who were all...
That made me night, lad. Yeah, made genuinely. Yours as well, like, it was just brilliant, that.
Yeah, it's one of those things, you know, when you meet, because she said, like, I think you know my son, and you were like, is it Andy? And she was like, and we were like, yeah, and you could tell, like, she's got, like, you get where Robbo gets all of his humour from.
And his mannerisms.
And mannerisms and stuff, like, his mum was brilliant, and then we went and said hello to his
I had the same meeting Elves, mum,
yeah, absolutely. Two heroes of the Liverpool scene.
It was like up the mums then, but that again.
Yeah. Wow.
Up the mums, yeah.
No. But I love the fact, but it was just when you see how, seeing the pride on people's faces, you know what I mean? Of just like.
You had it, didn't you? Sorry, in Hoffenheim when you met Trent's brother after Trent scored the free kick. We never get it from that angle. We get it from the fans' angle, from the family's angle. It's even one above that video where you're with Trent's brother and he's going absolutely bananas.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Like that, to get them to see there, and you're the same. These lads, when they've won stuff, they were there when they won the league as a family, but they couldn't celebrate with the fans. It was just like they were bubbles, and it was a bit of crap, was it really? So we go, they're in the same boat. They've got to go to a final to watch their family win. Yeah. It's big for them as well.
And
you think, like, even going back to the European Cup and Hendo and his dad and all that type of stuff, there's just stories there that I think anybody with a heart can sort of relate to, can't they?
Yeah.
I mean, how, like, my mum was made up when I got me, like, 5 metre certificate for swimming. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And really, I was always going to get it. Like, you know what I mean? Robbo's got to the pinnacle of football. Like, that's just amazing.
My missus had a Hendu, a second Hendu, they were getting married in a few weeks, obviously, aren't we? And, do you know, did you do that?
I thought she was going with someone else.
No,
maybe. One for me, one for this other fella I've never met.
Yeah. She'd be,
why are you going all the way to Cyprus?
I would not be surprised if that happened. She has a Hendu, so, you know, they do that thing where they take a mask out of the fella, and apparently my mum had a few drinks, and she was going round to people going, look how handsome my son is. And that's all I've
she
got.
Must have had more than yeah.
All the people were like, really? You are
pie-eyed, this is all.
Yeah. You've got the beer goggles, but I'm thinking, my mum's got a mask of me. Andy Robertson's got, my son's the best left back in the world. He just won a cup. Hello, lads. Yeah. Look how handsome this mask, this eyeless mask of my bald-headed, shiny-headed fella is. It must be terrifying. If anyone was in Liverpool at the weekend, they saw 100 me's walking around or whatever. That would be like something out like, there'd be kids having nightmares for a week.
I love the humanity of it all. I love the pride, and I love the fact that I said to his brother, I was like, oh yeah, like that. And it was like the look of like, because you don't, we were nervous, but imagine actually being related to a person.
The guy, you're thinking, don't miss.
Yeah.
Don't miss. I don't want my name to be Mud.
Absolutely.
Kind of like me saying it. Don't want to change it. I'm about to marry this beautiful lady here, and I wanted to take Robertson.
Yeah, they were going to have they had a couple of drinks, a few drinks to calm down, as I imagine you would have to. But no, that was, it ended up being, but exactly that. But that's just one of those random magic moments about being able to be at the footy and be at the game and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, genuinely, there was a day maker. Just lastly on that, I mentioned it before. It's hard to state this because we truly see the importance of this until, you know, if it has a positive knock on down the line. But it does feel, it felt massive for everyone. You know, it's learning how to go through all that again. You know,
I'm not used to feeling those feelings in February. And it was like, I remember it was dead hard doing the Super Cup, because the Super Cup was like, oh my God, it felt like about 3 weeks since I went through like Madrid and survived that. And then all of a sudden we're in a do or die shootout with all your emotions on the line. And then it was like, we had the Charity Shield, wasn't that the week before, or was that the week after at that point? You know, we had a lot of that early tours. It's rebuilding your calluses.
To be fair, like, Norwich just kind of brought me back down to Norwich in the FA Cup.
Yeah, it's like, wow,
you know what I mean? It is mad, though, like, but the importance of it, kind of what you were saying, I think, is right, is that you don't know what the importance is, do you, until, I tell you what, if we get to a penalty shootout, it could help us both ways.
Yep.
You know, the players themselves have been through it, and everyone scored. And also the team that you're playing in a shootout knows that you've won a penalty shootout this season or in the final already.
Yeah.
You know, that could be massive that you just don't think about until you get there.
100%. Right, yeah, we're going to talk about what comes next and a little bit on Norwich. We've got a very short break to tell you about an amazing piece of content that we did in the build-up to the final, but it's now even more relevant. Liverpool have won 9 League Cups. If you want to know the inside story on the previous 8, Liverpool the League Cup story, a premium 5-part podcast series is streaming right now on Redman Plus.
Jewelry isn't a gift you give just once. It's a way to remind your loved one of a beautiful moment every time they see it. Blue Nile can help you find the gift that says how you feel and says it beautifully, with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com to find the perfect jewelry gift for any occasion. BlueNile.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Liverpool Football Club, record 8 times holders of the League Cup, have a storied history in the competition. Back to the 80s, 81, 82, 83 and 84, 4 consecutive wins for the Mighty Reds. 1995, the McManaman Final. 2001, kicking off the famous treble campaign. 2003, the forgotten final, the win over the bitterest of enemies, Manchester United. And 2012, the trophy that sent feast to famine for Liverpool and kicked off 7 trophyless years, leading to Liverpool lifting the European Cup under Jurgen Klopp in 2019. Liverpool, the League Cup story, goes deeper behind the stories of each of those wins. A 5-part premium podcast series available exclusively on Redmen Plus in the build-up to Liverpool's attempt to win a 9th League Cup against Chelsea at Wembley. Head to Redmen Plus right now and get that entire series streaming right now into your native podcasting player and learn more about Liverpool and the League Cup. Hey, yes, that is available in video and in podcast form, as all of our studio-based content is. So if you like listening to podcasts about Liverpool Football Club and you like to get deeper on the Liverpool cultures, we've got pre-match, post-match and documentaries, features and interviews, all streaming in audio versions as well as in video content and all. So yes, right, we've gone heavy on the League Cup final, as we should have done, and probably heavier on penalty, our dream penalty takers at the start. So we won't do too much on Norwich because, of course, there is a build-up shot there. But as we were kind of starting on this day,
step one done. That's the weird thing about the League Cup is that you go, amazing, amazing, amazing. Oh, and then you've just got to kind of crack on with the rest of your life. The hope is, you know, some of us are a bit like, oh, God, I've got to get myself up for a midweek FA
Cup. It's an 8:15 as well. That doesn't help things here, Paul. Yeah, yeah. 8:15s are horrid.
But there's a reason why we're not elite sport. We're not elite anything. We're not elite human beings. The hope is now what that's done is...
Rude.
Yeah. It's not rude. I never said you were bad. I just said you were an elite. Name one thing you're elite at. Thanks. Thanks for playing. What the final's done, hopefully, is there's a bunch of lads there who were on the bench, or there's a couple of lads who maybe didn't make the squad, and they're now going, oh, it was really annoying having to wear my coat for those celebrations. At very least, I want to be a step up the rung. Harvey Elliott's a good example of that. He's there by the grace of God. You know, in another world, for Thiago doesn't get injured and Harvey Elliott doesn't make the bench and then he doesn't get to have quite the same feels or moments in that post-match. That's hopefully what they'll be feeling about this knowledge game going in.
Yeah, and also, like I say, winning breeds winning, it is. And also, like you said, our boss was them celebrations, lads. Well, here's another chance to have another one of those. Go back to Wembley three more times or whatever, or two more times. So why wouldn't you want to do that? And like it comes, I think, at a perfect time for Liverpool, actually, in terms of where it is. It's not ideal. It comes, again, after the 120 minutes of extra time. What it does do, you're playing against the Norwich team who've got a big game at the weekend. They've played the weekend as well, so Friday night. So midweek, I think this midweek round of fixtures actually favours the bigger teams. It favours the teams with the bigger squads, mm-hmm. doesn't it? And that we've definitely got that. I mean, I know, again, I understand we've been through the mill at the weekend, but like, if you just caveat it as all the Alfie players who played 120, well, you aren't playing, take them out and you've still got a very good Liverpool team.
Yeah.
So I think it suits us. And like I say, we've had interviews. We had the 2001 documentary out recently on the Silverware Stories Part One. But basically, what the general gist when we were speaking to like Sir Phil Thompson, Jamie Carragher was, you just roll into the next one.
Yeah.
You just roll in and roll in because you're on such a high. Oh, FA Cup. Oh, there's a League Cup game. Oh, there's an FA Cup replay. There's a semi final of the European, and it'll just roll and
you
roll
know,
and roll.
You know what it gives them, Chris, is that there is the grind of the season, isn't there? And Liverpool, particularly domestically in the league, we've just got to keep chugging away and just keep winning. Well, every now and again, like, you're just dropping in a game where you actually do get to celebrate and you get to feel extra love. It's not like job done, pack your stuff, get home and get prepared for the next one, which is hard. We're actually having mini peaks. Makes and that's the beauty of the cup games.
It's a pressure cooker situation and you've let the air out a little bit for the Carabao and that's it. You know, we know that Liverpool were on a plane home after the game. Like, that's just what happened. It's all business from here. Like, yeah, you've had an hour and a half to mess around in the changes. Now it's back down to business because Wednesday's coming up.
Yeah.
And this squad's got to go and compete. And got to do better in the FA Cup than we've done in previous years because we've not been good enough in the FA Cup. We've got, I think, almost the perfect opponent for that.
Yeah.
With relegation fodder, second game in a week, where the priorities are, who knows? So for me, it's a case of, you want to get yourself into the FA Cup team, lads? Now's your opportunity. Everyone who didn't play starts, and you've got to go out there and fight to be involved in the quarterfinals for
Mo Salah's on an Instagram at 2 a.m. in the morning doing his recovery swims in the pool. Like it's all business all now.
Yeah.
Like you got the summer off, there's no World Cup this summer, so if you want a party, let's have a big old party with four big shiny things in the summer.
Yeah.
Have your good hour, have your champagne, have your dancing around, but now all business all go. And there was talk, again, I'd done the Stat 11 show and there's people messaging me at the time going, he's going to pick the kids. I was like,
there are no kids no more.
I was like, nah. Jürgen, they know. They're not stupid. Trent's thing, doesn't he? Trent, he looks like, Ross said he looks like someone carrying the baby out in the car seat of the women's jersey with the trophy. 1/4. Mo Salah, 1 down, .. They know. Like, you mentioned before.
I was waiting for a second and third and fourth tweet.
Doesn't understand how Trent's wearing.
You thought it might be.
That's what that was about.
Wait till May and 2 or 4 might be the FA.
It's fucking genius social if that's what he's doing.
Exactly. So what I'm saying is that, you referenced before, this has to, of all the great Liverpool sides, and there are plenty of them, there's a chance that this can be the best ever. They know this. Imagine Jürgen looks at someone and goes, I'm thinking of playing one. I was like, are you messing? You're going to risk my chance of being part of the greatest Liverpool team, of the quadruple winning Liverpool team. Get me on that pitch, Jürgen.
It's not about a side that wins trophies. It's about a side that consistently wins trophies. That's what this team wants to be remembered as.
Yeah.
I always forget the pronunciation, so I'm going to go with dynasty. I always get it with dynasty. That's what Liverpool want. And I've already seen that word mentioned in articles over the last day or so, because that's what these are. It's about greatness at this point. And you can't be great as in, you know, one of the all-time great teams by winning the Carabao Cup. But it can add to your greatness. Yeah. And that's what this Liverpool side want and, to be honest, need.
Yeah, you're right. And you're right. That you know, you might see the outside shout is like, you might get Conor Bradley might be involved because...
Or a kind of his film.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
One or two,
But really, there's just so many lads who just need a game. You know what I mean? You could pick a third choice midfield at this point and they'd still be senior lads. You know, you could have Milner, Curtis Jones, and Oxlade Chamberlain.
And Milner probably start.
Yeah, yeah, almost certainly. And you know,
Minamino, Arrigo. Nice.
I don't think we signed him yet.
No, that's like Brangelina. Arrigo is my Minamino, Origi. I just count them as two now.
One or the other.
Arrigo, yeah. No, both.
Yeah.
They come as a package.
Okay, so.
It's the Arrigo duo. You've got Gomez. You've got like lads who need games of footy. There's more than enough there. Like I say, I think the bench will be packed full of the big guns as well because they do want to win this. Like mm-hmm. they absolutely do.
There's no point in not having them on there at this point. I think you treat this like the Champions League now, which sounds mad because it's Norwich. Again, relegation fodder aside. But it tells you that they're taking it seriously. And yes, the starting 11 might not be strong, but what's the point of jeopardising it? I agree. I don't think it will be. It won't be like Morton might be involved and Bradley might be involved and Kate Gordon might be involved, but you're not going to see Harvey Blair and you're not going to see some of the, you know, like you're probably not, maybe you're not going to see Owen Beck because there's no point.
Billy Cometio plays at Leicester. He's not going to be in any.
We've got a tough game against West Ham the weekend and, you know, we owe them one.
Yeah.
And the lads know that.
Yeah.
So that's got to come into your thinking as well. And you've got Inter Milan.
Exactly.
You've got to take the rest where you can get them.
To this point, it's just that you're not... You might need your big hitters because you want to win and mad things happen in games of football. You're not going to jeopardise it by going weak and then having a weak bench. I agree. It might be a slightly weaker, but like...
They are built and trained for this amount of games. They are that. This is literally how we've sculpted them to deal with this.
Yeah.
Our squad has been sculpted in the same fashion to deal with this. Let them go out and do it.
And five subs is big. Just throw that in there.
Yeah,
well. If you can pack your bench full of them, and you can have a couple of kids and a couple of your big guns, and say if we're winning 3-0, then we take someone off and you put K Gordon on. Mm-hmm. If we're down one with 20 to go. There's Mo Salah, there's Sadio Mane, exactly. Whoever it is. That's
exactly.
Having the five subs is a really big positive.
Right, let's begin the wrap up then. I'm quite excited for this week. There's a couple of things that I don't want to go too heavy on what we got lined up, but we have an appointment to catch up with John Achterberg at the back end of the week, which I'm quite excited about. More on that to follow. We can announce we're going to do a proper announcement this week, because we promised him when we got through the League Cup final. We officially signed Jay Pearson as an independent filmmaker to our Red Men Plus label with his Ecru doc. What else have you got? Well, you got Statue this week?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it today, actually. It's with Dan Rhodes from Anfield Index, and we have such a laugh doing these shows. Like, he's one of my favourite guests, actually. So, we're obviously looking back at the Carabao Cup final in depth and detail, and as Steve was like to say, you know, we're going in deep and hard multiple times.
I didn't say any of that.
Oh.
That's what I was touching your leg before. That's what I was insinuating.
So we're doing that. And I can't wait for it. But I know we wanted to talk about like what we've got coming on this week and stuff. But I didn't talk about it. One of the things that I loved most about the final, and you shouldn't have to do this, but respect where it's due. Like, I knew Liverpool fans had come out with Ukraine flags and stuff like that.
Yes.
But I really enjoyed the fact that Chelsea fans, with their Russian ownership, came out about that as well. So kudos to the Chelsea fans for doing that.
Absolutely, completely agree on that. Like, I mean, I was a little concerned. I mean, when in a world where you've got Newcastle fans in like shake outfits and stuff like that, like the football fans might get the wrong end of the stick and come out with like Russian flags because we're doubling down on Abramovich or whatever. So no, I thought that was a really sort of poignant moment. And I you often get it where Liverpool fans do like, you'll never walk alone on stuff, and fans of other teams, Evertonians particularly, take like umbrage with that. It's because they hate that and they see that as a hateful thing. Whereas I always say, there's a great line, and we got taught in like pre-marriage wedding school at the church we had to go through, and there was an adage about like there's an old couple and they got into their 80s and the woman kicks off because the husband's been giving her the crust the whole time. The whole of their marriage is like, I absolutely loathe the crusts. Why have you been giving me the crust all the time? And he said, the crust's like my favourite part. Yeah. And for us to do You'll Never Walk Alone, a lot of people go, oh, Scouser's making about themselves. That's our best thing. That's the most meaningful thing we have. And for us to be able to sing that, it means so much to us to be able to sort of sing that. It's like a message of solidarity for the people of Ukraine. You know, football's such a little thing and so really unimportant in the grand scheme of things. But I thought it was an all-round really touching thing. What are you doing this week, Steve?
Not a lot. Obviously, we've got the build-up to Norwich, so I say we've got the opposition preview today. We've got, obviously, the watch-along on Wednesday and all that comes with it. Me and Errol seem to be living in the studio at the moment. We'll be back again for the game. The numbers for the final watch-along were ridiculous, so thanks to everyone who joined us. The chat was amazing. It was a really good atmosphere.
What was it like doing it for a trophy lift? What was it?
It was...
How were the feelings?
I was aware that I was on the internet, but I wanted to do what I would do anyway, so I just did it. It's like you are running the show a bit as well. You've got to be thinking of that as well. You've got to make sure it's entertaining or people will care about it and interactive. But in plus also, I did run out the studio at one point to go celebrate with the guys.
Yeah,
because you don't want to lose the moment, and I think that's authentic. So we've got I've really enjoyed me and Errol. I feel like we've got like a nice little partnership going there as well. So it's been cool.
I thoroughly enjoyed seeing all the club legends and the contributors and stuff in the in the kitchen area for all.
It was the Legends Lounge.
The
Club Legends Lounge was we transformed the kitchen into the Club Legends Lounge for this. So yeah, that and then
trademark it before Liverpool do.
Trademark. That counts, right?
Bagsies,
shout out Claire, trademark everyone. It's fine. I thought it was boss. I loved the extra feels and all that.
And we'll absolutely look to. We'll again all the club legends. We'll definitely do one again before the end of the season. I'm certain of it.
Yeah. We had some comments and memberships and super chats and all that kind of stuff while we've been doing this. So we'll wrap up on them. John Lee David Blackshaw has been a member for 12 months. It's a cult hero. Says, told you, Steve. First part of sex partite done.
He did say this. He said because it's the quadruple, and I'm guessing he's including like the Super Cup and the Charity Shield perhaps as well. So I thought it would be a sex top. But I got to a point where everything I said just sounded like I was trying to talk about a menage like Tuara, like a gang bang. Because every time I tried to get six, it just sounds like I'm trying to organise a big orgy. So yeah, six trophies in a year.
To be honest, that might be our next club legend meetup if we win six trophies to Liverpool next
game. I'm not sharing Steve with anybody. No, all right. You touched your leg before. Well, you sod right off.
Pre-drinks. Sid Senor, Harvey showing 18-year-olds how to take a pressure penalty in a final. Cough Saka. Oh, poor old Saka. We like him. Come play for Liverpool. But it was incredibly cool of him and incredibly... I love his passion. Genuinely love him. Ayaman Patanik has been a member for 6 months. As Abramovich's decision also affected the vibes of Chelsea. Yeah, there was a little bit about that where, you know, there was a lot of spot. Like, I mean, I was reading The Guardian on the way home and it was like, it's got like match review, and then there's two pages on Abramovich's ownership and what that all means. They had a lot of that undercurrent that I'm glad in some regards that them not winning means that it puts a bit more focus on what's happening behind the scenes, because that's the kind of thing.
And Thomas
Tuchel
referenced it in the build. Like he said, like it was a thing. He couldn't just ignore it. And fair play to me, he acknowledged it. Like I get it.
But you could have had like Italy when Italy win the World Cup in the midst of all the match fixing scandals, and all of a sudden that just it's like, way, look at this, and it all got sorted. A lot of clubs that were meant to be in Serie B started in Serie A. That you know that season off the back of it.
You know that, mate.
Yes, I see pricks. Conor McMullen, the FA Cup covers every trophy in the Klopp ever, but sure, why not win the league and the Champions League this season? Yeah,
the Red. Jürgen does need he needs the FA Cup to complete the set.
Yeah, I'd be made up with that.
Yeah,
and that's what we thought about that success thing. If we just end up as the
we had the opportunity to get the UEFA Cup on there,
yeah,
and we missed it.
Yeah,
but now you don't want that as part of the sex. It means you're not in the big one.
Yeah, bollocks to it. We're in the upgraded version of it. We don't want to give, but we don't also want to go down into the.
And that's what I mean.
League,
but we also had that opportunity. We're literally in the final with him.
Yeah, good point.
So you can't actually get the set now.
Yeah.
You've missed your boat.
Yeah, He can come back in a few years when we're crap. And
then he can do it for us.
Yeah, definitely. Right, yes, thanks.
It's also pretty much like, you know, the second most beautiful trophy.
It is a good looking trophy.
It's fantastic.
We've got loads of them,
though. I think it's probably like if you stood the two next to each other, I'd rather have the UEFA Cup. But it's
the UEFA Cup looks more. It looked good on your shelf, wouldn't it?
Oh, big is means more.
Yeah.
But it, like, if you were just going, which trophy do you think should be for the most important competition? It would probably be the UEFA Cup.
Oh, I meant to mention, not a big fan of how Carabao put a huge sponsor on the underside of the League Cup.
And an advert on the 85th minute in the ground.
Yeah. Booed incessantly.
Do the lads get like a free supply of Carabao now? We can say the champions.
I'm amazed. If this was American sports, they would all be walking around.
They'd be
around
bathing, clopping it, wouldn't they? Like, genuinely. You know, the Carabao bath.
Klopp called it the Carabao.
He does. He can't say. And every time I type it out, I type
does
out.
Does anyone know though? Because like,
no
one sells it anywhere. Still, it's still like, you know.
I've never tasted it.
I saw there was an advert on the hoardings at Anfield.
It's basically
the
Lucas
week.
Aid from Wish.
Yeah. No. But it had like it was.
Did that Carabao sponsor? Like, lads, cancel the Carabao deal. Cancel the Carabao deal.
Genuinely. We mentioned this. Like, there's a lot of people who got Carabao ticket deals and all that, and we didn't. And not to say that they looked at us at all, but we have slaughtered that competition. That competition sponsor this season. But there was an advert on the Hordens a couple of weeks ago, might have been the semis, and it was you can get it for £2 for £1, literally, it was something like that. It was like, yeah, on the advertisement.
I told you I used to think you could buy everything in Poundland.
Yeah.
So like, I remember saying to my mum when I was like 12, I was like, I want a new Mega Drive game. She's like, we can't afford the moment, because I just go to Poundland. That's not how it works, Chris. Like, no, they don't just have everything. You can't just go and buy a Nintendo 64 from Poundland. You know, there are things they don't stock. And I was like, that's shit, isn't it?
Right, Sal, we need to go. Thank you so much for joining us on the revamped Red Men podcast. If you are listening on audio providers, then leave a 5-star rating and review and all that good stuff. If you want more from us, do check out Red Men Plus. If you head over to theredmentv.com, you get all of our content there. Every bit of content we do lives on the website in one place, but also loads of extra shows from the studio, documentaries, features, interviews. We've got an incredible documentary about the Accru kits from the 90s coming up from Jay Pearson in the coming weeks as well. We've got something on the German connection between Liverpool, which Evo's working on, and of course loads of League Cup content, which now is not dead, it lives forever, because we're happy about the League Cup because it's a boss trophy. Right. Thank you so much, gents. That's been an absolute pleasure. Check back for the Red Men podcast and how we got on who knows. It's next week. Should be fun. Ta-da.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Your personal info, like addresses, phone numbers, and more, are collected and sold by data brokers. But Aura steps in, scanning the web, sending you alerts, and requesting your info be removed. Get Aura's full toolkit, including credit and transaction monitoring, a password manager, VPN, and more. Get a 14-day free trial at aura.com/safety. That's aura.com/safety.